AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
0141-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. As we hit a rare midweek with no on-field action for Scotland's top flight clubs, fear not, Sunday's League Cup final has given us one or two talking points that might just last the week. The latest on that, it should have been a penalty in the eyes of the Scottish FA. Stuart Kettlewell says that the Scottish FA have told him that Motherwell should have had a penalty at the weekend. You might not hear quite as much about that one. And Neil Critchley is targeting European progression with Hearts. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Ross McCormick and Hugh Evans.
Well, the guilty verdict was delivered on Frank Connor and Alan Muir when they were stood down from this weekend's fixtures. So later in the week we will get the official word from Willie Collum, the head of referees, but those two men have been found guilty of getting it wrong in the final. My point about all of this is that in over 150 years of Scottish professional football, mistakes have been with us for all of that time and will be with us for the remainder of time.
I mean, Ross, when you left here on Sunday, having worked on the cup final for this show, did you realise you'd be back 3 days later and having the exact same conversation? Did you hope it might have moved on ever so slightly?
Well, there's hope, and then I knew we'd still be talking about it, but listen, I've listened to the show since as well, and I'm of the same mindset of you. What can be done other than holding your hands up, admitting that you got it wrong? There's nothing else that can be done. The game is not going to be played again. It's as simple as that. So you can call for this, you can call for that, but at the end of the day, all that's going to happen is they're going to get probably a sorry that they got it wrong, because they did get it wrong at the end of the day. Other than that, that's as far as it's going to go. But as we know, with especially Old Firm football fans, that probably isn't going to be enough.
0141 951 1025. And if you are out there, and you are, if you're a rare breed who is scunnered by all this stuff already, fear not, that the news cycle will just keep giving you more of it, because tomorrow you'll hear the VAR audio. You'll hear Willie Collum's explanation. Oh, and then on Friday, Philippe Clement will be asked about it, Hugh, at his press conference. So that will definitely be a full week where it's going to be covered every single day. Are you up for it?
Oh, absolutely. That's what makes the world go round here. Why do you think I've lasted so long in this business? The 55 years ago, they were fighting over decisions in Old Firm games, and we're still doing it. I fully understand that for Rangers, it's been a devastating blow for a variety of reasons. Philippe Clement denied, perhaps, his first win over Brendan Rodgers. Philippe Clement forced to accept that Rangers no longer have the most trophies won in this country. Celtic now have that by 119 to 118. I do understand that all of it, as a package, is devastating for Rangers. But I repeat, mistakes are an integral part of football. The naked eye of the referee was decided to be insufficient. So VAR was born. And now new technology has been found to be insufficient, because there's a human element to it. And two men looked at something and didn't think it was a penalty, but it was.
0141 951 1025. Maybe I'm being unfair in suggesting that everyone still has a bloodthirsty appetite for this. I did notice when we posted on Twitter about the show being on tonight, the first reply was from a Rangers fan. So I'm going to give you the mention, Mr. Shades, who says all this VAR debate is dull and pointless. Bottom line, Rangers lost, let's focus on improving for January 2nd instead of wasting hours on this. That's wishful thinking, but if you're on that train of thought, feel free. Maybe let's turn it into a slightly wider football debate for at least some of this as well then, because I was thinking of all the stuff that we've missed, getting caught up in the penalty stuff from the weekend. Has Sunday changed your mind at all in any way about the title race? Because it's not done anything to the points, obviously. Celtic are still as far ahead as they are. So I wonder if Rangers fans, has it made you more confident that you can pull something off, or is it still completely done? And Celtic fans, has it made you any less confident that it's going to be a cakewalk, or are you still in that mindset? It just got me curious. So if you could give us a shout on that. Has Sunday made any difference whatsoever to your thoughts on the title race? Why not give us a call on that? 01419511025. Speaking of title races, what about the championship? Livy,
yeah,
coming
up
strong.
2 points in it now.
See it last night.
Yeah, good win over Airdrie. I always have a lot of time for David Martindale at Livy, because he went down, he didn't duck out of it and go somewhere else. He said, I'll stay, I want to bring them back up. And only 2 points in it, more than half a season to go, he's very much in contention.
Come on then, 01419511025. And like I said in the last couple of nights, every night this week, every caller who makes it on air goes into the hat to win a book that we've got in front of us. And I'll let Hugh Keevans explain it. What's the story here, Hugh? Why are we doing this?
Well, I wrote this book about Tommy Burns in association with Tommy in 1989, 35 years ago. And to my astonishment, Celtic Publications got in touch with me and said, we'd like to bring it back out again. And I'm really, really touched to see it back on the shelves. And I hope that Tommy's 4 children are happy to see their dad's book back out again. And it's untouched in every way. There's no additions, nothing. It's the same book from 1989, except it's got a hardback cover. And you know, the most poignant thing for me, I looked at the dedication. Tommy had a 3-part dedication which he wrote to himself, and the first part is to Rosemary, who was his wife, who tragically died a few months ago. So it's just so touching for me. And I repeat, Tommy's got 4 children, 2 boys, 2 girls, and I hope that they are happy to see their dad back.
Absolutely. Now, I know the way it works on this week of all weeks. I know not everybody listening, it would be top of your own Christmas list, but you'll know somebody. So if you're a Celtic fan, get in the hat and try and win it. And if you're not, nevertheless, you can potentially win it by coming on the phones and you give it to somebody as a Christmas gift. Pretend that you spend your hard-earned cash on it. That's what Hugh would do. Anyway, 01419511025. Frankie is first through. How are you, Frankie?
Not too bad. How's the boys?
Good.
All good here, Frankie. What are you thinking?
Thinking, first question I would ask, if you ever see Charlie McGrew, ask him what he was wearing in the final day.
Somebody did actually bring this up to me. I was there, I was quite high above, I didn't really notice. Was it particularly offensive?
It just looked as if he's come back to a nightclub.
Listen,
grey cardigan, the white shirt hanging out. Look, to be fair, I thought he was trendy as always.
Look at the state of us three in here, Frankie. We can't be passing comment on anyone. What else you got?
Well, funny enough, when you came on, I was watching you on the telly, and when you went on about, will this change any minds? Well, it certainly won't change mine. I was saying to the producer there, I think at best Rangers could possibly get 4 points, 5 points. Or Celtic could drop 4 or 5 points. I don't think they'll drop any more than that. I have to drop any, because I think they'll go unbeaten. And also, for the next game, I know it's at Ibrox and I know there are many fans there. Brendan's done it before and he knows what to do. And I think he'll lend what Rangers showed out on Sunday. Because he learned after Dortmund, he tweaks a few things, and I think he'll do the same when you see us going to Ibrox. It might not be the open, expansive game I've seen from Celtic, but I think he'll tweak some things.
If you do it by the numbers, Frankie, Celtic 11 points clear of Rangers, with the goal difference, which is way in front of Rangers, it's effectively 12 points. It would have to be a collapse of a dramatic nature, and that's not really in Brendan Rodgers' DNA. However, they needn't think that you know they can rely upon another invincible season. They're at Tannadice on Sunday. Celtic didn't play well against Hibs. Kasper Schmeichel had a very good game. Didn't play well against Dynamo Zagreb. Got a goalless draw when they might have got the 3 points on that night had they played better. And they really didn't play well against Rangers in the final. I don't think they've scored 3 goals. That's undeniable. But they didn't play well. As a pal of mine put it to me today, that there were more bookings than there were accurate passes. So they have to, you know, be mindful that the league is still in progress and Jim Goodwin's waiting for them high noon on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, Ross, look, the reason I asked it is more of a, like I say, a curiosity. I don't really expect many to say, oh, because it was 3-3 at the weekend, that showed Rangers will overtake Celtic and win the league. I'm not anticipating it going that far. I just wondered if it had softened anyone's view on even a touch, even 5%, 10% on how over it was, because everybody has been saying that. Did it change anything for you?
No, listen, it's not going to change the outcome of the league for sure, but I think Rangers fans, they probably need something to hold on to. I think the last two performances, Tottenham and Celtic, have shown that there's something there to work with, and probably 2-3 months ago everyone was questioning if there was anything there to work with. I think Egerman's come out of nowhere, he's doing really well. They brought Hadji back into the team. Bayrami's been playing well. Cherny looks like a different player from the start of the season. I called him at one point like a little boy. I thought he was getting bullied a lot off the ball, but seems a different player. But I think for me, looking at the game on Sunday as well, one of the main things that I took away from the game was the fact that Celtic were so poor and yet they've still went and scored 3 goals against Rangers. Whether it's a draw, whether it's a defeat, whatever it might have been, they've still scored 3 goals against Rangers and they didn't play well at all. I think that's quite worrying for Rangers, to be honest with you.
What do you think, Frankie? Do you see the logic in that? If this is Celtic and not particularly, you know, if this is Celtic not at the top of their game, they're still, they got the trophy in the cabinet and absolutely nothing given in the league at all, still foot to the floor.
Yeah, agreed with what Ross said there as well. And obviously when you was talking about, you know, Celtic, you know, having to watch what they're doing, that's just my opinion, that what they'll be, that they could go the full length unbeaten. But no, I don't think for 1 minute the boys, the players, they'll be out there and Brendan will be on them. What I would say about that last wee thing you said, Gordon, it was 8 bookings for Rangers and 3 for Celtic. And I couldn't understand why the big fella at the back, Balligan, I thought he should have been sent off for the tackle on Carter Vickers. But anyway, that's by the by.
Oh, good. More refereeing controversies from Sunday. That's just what we need.
I told you that this game is discussed in a forensic detail that Police Scotland would envy. But the general point about the game, go back to Giovanni Van Bronckhorst, who couldn't lay a glove on Celtic. He took some heavy beatings off Celtic. Michael Beale, not great in Celtic matches either. And prior to Sunday, Philippe Clement had gone 5 Old Firm games without a win. But I thought on Sunday there was evidence of there being hope for Rangers. You know, that when they play on January 2nd at Ibrox, I think it has the potential to be the closest league game that Brendan Rodgers has known throughout the Giovanni Van Bronckhorst, Michael Beale and Philippe Clement time in charge.
I suppose maybe, although I feel like we have said that a lot and I feel like we do keep saying it. But Ross, I wonder also if let's say 4 or 5 weeks ago, if you'd said to most Rangers fans, Do you think you could win on January 2nd? I think the vast majority say no straight away. If you ask them this week, I think that percentage probably comes down. And that's all it is. It's just a hope. Celtic might well win and then the gap gets even bigger. But is there maybe just a belief now that there wouldn't have been a couple of weeks ago?
Yeah, 100%. There's more of a belief there, as you said. It's hope. They showed on Sunday and against Tottenham on Thursday night that there is something there to work with. There is a formula there. It's about polishing that up now. And repetition will get you better results. So there's no point now looking to go and chop and change formations, take this player out of the team, try and get him in. Go with what's got you two decent performances and work with that. I just think from a couple of months ago they were that far away that any sort of hope Rangers fans would have held on to. I think the last two performances probably outweighed what the Rangers fans thought they were going to do, to be honest. And I think it's good for Scottish football because a strong Celtic needs a strong Rangers to keep pushing them and pushing them. Otherwise, you know, there's everyone may as well go home.
See, when you said, Frankie, you think, you know, it means Brendan Rodgers will have learned something and then he can tweak. What are the small improvements you think need to be made then, or are there players that are maybe in a small dip at the moment?
Well, it's a bugbear of mine. One of the blatant ones I always see is, and it's all the time, it's no, you know, it's, we know Maeda is great at getting up and down the park, but when the attack's on the other side, especially on Sunday, Taylor's trying to come in to cover his centre-half. The space is all behind him where Tavernier's going to be, and Maeda doesn't clock on. If it's a fifth, you know, if he's chasing something he can see, that's fine. See when the ball's like over the other side of the park and he drags himself in and doesn't cover anywhere. And it's been very apparent, and I would think Brendan should be looking at that. Make sure if Tavernier's going, you're going with him, and that way Taylor can cover in.
I did not expect Dyson Maeda to be the bugbear right now, I have to say, but why we're here.
I think to concede a goal less than 30 seconds after you've gone 3-2 in front was unprofessional on Celtic's part. And Frankie's right that the danger emanates from where Maeda should be. But when the cross comes in and Danilo scores, I understand it's a great cross, but it was met with a very lackadaisical defensive approach.
Listen, I've looked at that goal a few times, and I'm sure I said it at the time. When he heads it, he's 4 yards out. The ball's in there a long, long time. First of all, Maeda should probably do better to try and stop the cross. I get that. But when the cross comes in, you've got to then take a viewpoint. And for me, I think Casper will probably look back at that and think, I reckon I could have came and cleaned everything out there. I think he'll be disappointed with that.
Thank you very much to Frankie. Just talking generally about the football match and whether it has done anything whatsoever to change the title race, or your thoughts on the title race, because obviously it can't change it when it was a cup game. But you know what we mean. Give us a shout, 0141 951 1025. Frankie will be in the hat for the book that Hugh wrote many moons ago. And if you want to join in, please do right now, and we will speak to you next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now. Oh, come all ye faithful, and hope your team is joyful and triumphant. Merry Christmas from Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Ross McCormick are here, 0141 951 1025. Genuinely loads of people trying to get through tonight to talk about the football match, because maybe we have neglected it a bit over the last couple of days. But to be fair, the story is still big, it is still there. There has been an admission, if that's the right word, that it should have been a penalty. That's the way the Scottish FA feel about it. And then tomorrow we should hear the VAR audio, or certainly within the coming days, and get Willie Collins' like explanation, if that's such a thing. Because I know, I hear you all saying, there is no explanation. I know what you mean, but we'll hear his thoughts on it anyway. But loads try to get through in the football games. Let's bring in Stevie, who's on. How are you, Stevie?
I'm good, thank you.
What are you thinking tonight, Stevie?
I've got 3 or 4 points as to why I think Rangers lost. Would it make sense just for me to run through the...
You fire on, Stevie. You do what you like. Then,
yeah, okay. Right, so first of all, Celtic played Tuesday early. Rangers were still on the pitch at 10 o'clock on Thursday night. And I think that's massive when it comes to the game going to extra time and penalties. Following on from that penalty, everybody knows it's a penalty. But it's the reason is, well, what we want to know is why it wasn't looked at, and if it was, how did they come to that conclusion that it wasn't a penalty? The third point is the 4-1. Now, we can't influence the outside decisions that are made, such as the penalty, but we can influence decisions on the pitch. And I reckon Rangers score that 4-1, 3 out of 10. I reckon Celtic score it 8 out of 10. So basically, you know, Celtic shop at Marks and Sparks, we shop at Marco's Corner Shop. They've simply got better players. And follow on from that, if Rodgers could actually go straight Swans, who would he actually take from the Rangers team? So why did we nearly win? Well, by simply putting the effort in. Where has that been from the beginning of the season up to 3 weeks ago? If you close down McGregor and put the effort in, you've got a chance. And until we compete in the money game, then, you know, we have to adapt and just get in our faces. And at the end of the day, we're unlucky to lose, but I think that's the reason why we lost.
I don't think the Tuesday
points in there.
Yeah, I don't think the Tuesday Thursday thing was apparent at all. I think to their credit, Rangers looked the part all day. In the latter part of extra time, one or two went down with cramp. But I don't think.
I think that's maybe where we saw it. Because Celtic, I think, looked tired as well. But maybe if you were forced to pick a team that looked more tired in the second part of extra time, it probably was Rangers. And is it at that point that Stevie would be right? I mean, it is 2 days less preparation.
But if they were the less likely in the second half of extra time, Celtic still didn't do any damage to them. So 4-on-1. It's down to Igmani. I mean, he's just made a terrible mistake. And Carter Vickers, to his credit, has stuck with it, not panicked, and he's really helped the team out.
What do you make of Stevie's, I don't know about the figures that he put on it, Ross, I can't remember specifically, but the gist of it being Celtic would punish Rangers in that situation, and Rangers didn't punish Celtic. Do you think is that fair?
I think it's hard to disagree with that, to be honest. I've always said, and I stand by it, that the difference in... When you get to a certain level of football, the difference in the players is all in the decision making and how quickly you come to that decision. I think if you're looking at some of the top players going there, 9 times out of 10, they would have. And by the way, there was space there. Everyone says, oh, Carter Vickers blocked the passing lane and what have you. The space was there to play it to the left, 100%. I think the better players in the world and probably even in Scotland, 9 times out of 10, would have made the right decision there. So I would have to agree with Stevie on that for sure.
But someone can probably point to this and say that the Celtic would have missed chances as well. I'm sure they did. But actually the goal that Engel squares for Kuhn, that's probably is less of a chance, isn't it? I know there's still an opening there, but it's a similar break is what I'm trying to say. And Celtic make it count. I get where Stevie's coming from.
In fairness to Engels, and I thought he had a poor cameo role to play when he came on. I didn't think and he did score his penalty as well in the shootout, but he wasn't having a great time in the match. But the pick out was terrific, because he could have just put it right across the face of goal, but he knew where Nicholas Kuhn was, and the pick out was the decisive factor. So if he takes only two things away from that day at Hampden, it's the pick out of Nicholas Kuhn and the bottle to score from the penalty.
Stevie, to go back to something else you said, is there a frustration that you think, like, where has this been? Why now? Why not earlier in the season? Because Philippe Clement would say it was all building up to this, wouldn't he? He would say that, you know, Iggyman was bound to take a while to get up to this, and you've had Hadji's contract situation and various others. Is that... Was it inevitable that it was going to take a bit of time, or are you still frustrated that this couldn't click into gear earlier?
Well, you know, you don't need to settle in to make an effort. I get tactics, I get fitting in the team and what have you, but you know what? You know, they get paid a lot of money, and they could have been trying 100%. And I just don't feel that up till about 3 weeks ago, and it's been really disappointing. But now, actually, I'm actually quite proud to be a Rangers supporter now, because I think it's been absolutely fantastic, the turnaround, and not the skill level, because I think we've actually played as well as we can for the level of player we have in the last 3 weeks, but just the effort level.
Do you know a funny thing? I was looking at a quote from Muhammad Ali, the greatest.
Wow, where is this going?
And Ali's quote was, the will has to be greater than the skill. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Stevie is quite right to compliment Rangers on the skill factor on Sunday, but you can never get away from the will where Celtic are concerned. Even when they look to be in a bit of bother, they find a way.
You know more about this, Ross. This is where, obviously, you haven't played, though. Rangers haven't just decided to switch on effort, have they?
No.
Is it not just, is it not something that clicks? Because there are different, there is different players in some areas that are playing. Maybe they feel tactically more secure, the plan, I don't know, but it's not like they've just decided to try now and then they weren't at the start. Like, it can't be, is it?
No, that's not the case. I think if you look at the game on Sunday, for talking sake, Raskin and Diamande, they looked like they were everywhere. So that kind of blows the whole Tuesday and Thursday and having less recovery and all that out the water, because to me, for the full game, Rangers did look the fittest and the sharpest, so it was nothing to do with recovery. But Stevie, can I just ask you a question there? I'm just picking up on one thing that you said. It's, you said that Rangers are now playing to a level which basically these guys can only get to now. So do you believe that this current Rangers squad then, are you telling me that they'll never ever be good enough to beat Celtic? Because
yes, I do believe that's the case, yes.
Not even in one game?
Oh, no, I'm not saying that at all. What I said was that, you know, we nearly won because of the effort on Sunday. So, yes, if we put the effort in, then we've got a chance. And, you know, that 3 out of 10 will happen at some point, and we will win. But they need to make up for the lack of skill that the Celtic players have by being stronger, better, run harder than Celtic.
I would imagine, to be fair, that is probably, I'm doing a you here, speaking on behalf of everyone, I always slag you for it, probably representative of most Rangers fans, wasn't it? I don't think, surely no one's under any illusions that the gap needs to be bridged at some point here. You don't just take a game to penalties, losing penalties, and then all of a sudden, that's it. You've got what it takes to knock this Celtic team off their perch permanently. You know, it's going to take more than that, and surely no one thinks otherwise.
No, because it's going to take money. Because ultimately, you know, people at Tierney will go back to their parent clubs because Rangers can't afford them. And Celtic have such a financial advantage over Rangers that if necessary, whether it's in the January window or at the beginning of next season, Celtic have the financial wherewithal to bring in another Arne Engels if they so choose. But Rangers are not in anything like that position. Therefore, the gap will perpetuate unless Rangers get fresh investment in the club.
Or it can certainly come closer, Ross, if, because there are no guarantees and it is a big if, but if Celtic start getting a few of these wrong, and then Rangers somehow manage that, you know, Eggerman does blossom, and then the next Eggerman signed, you know, it's not impossible. But you take Hugh's point. I mean, which bank balance would you rather have?
No, that's 100% true. But the point that I was making there is, you can't possibly tell me that this Rangers squad, this is now their ceiling. Mm-hmm. You're trying to tell me that they can't get better than...
No, but I think Stevie can correct us if he's wrong. He's saying they can get better, but he just doesn't think they've got what it takes to overthrow Celtic, basically.
I think they can get a lot closer to Celtic for sure, this current crop. I think there's, and I've said it for a full season, to be honest, they have got good footballers in there. They just weren't producing it in a sort of cohesive way, where, you know, Bayrami was getting into certain positions, and I think this current group at Rangers can be a lot better than they are. And I'm hoping that the last two performances is a springboard to the road to trying to get there.
Well, let's ask Stevie, how much can they bridge the gap themselves, if you like, Stevie?
I think they can bridge the gap, because, you know, if they keep putting the effort in, and Ross, yes, I do think they can improve their skill level, and I think Clement has actually done quite a good job in the last few weeks, but I just don't think they can get to the level that Celtic can, because they'll just put an extra 10 million quid into the pot and buy another player. We need to be financially stronger to get to anywhere near them. But if we keep putting the effort against your Ross Counties and your Dundee Uniteds and your Motherwells and win those games instead of a draw or a shock defeat, then yes, we will get closer. But can I just go back to one point, Ross, you made? You said that about the fitness levels and what have you.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is, it's remarkable how fit they looked, despite the fact that Celtic played on Tuesday early and Rangers late on Thursday. And that's why I'm so proud of the effort that they put in. And you know, that's made a difference. Just running about and giving everything.
Yeah, I thought they looked great, to be honest. But as I said on the show on Sunday as well, this whole Thursday and playing again 2 days later, I don't believe that one.
To be fair, like, bow to your superior knowledge of him being there. The only thing that made me think it was even if it was a small, was I thought Hadji looked Rangers' fittest player come the end. Having, and no coincidence, not
in the European squad.
It might just be that he has really upped his fitness levels this season. Anyway, thank you to Stevie. What about Russell in East Kilbride? How's it going, Russell?
Very well, thank you. How are you, Gordon, Hugh and Ross?
Good. Very well, very well. What are you thinking tonight?
My main point is really, see the decisions aside, I thoroughly enjoyed the game. As a Rangers fan, I thoroughly enjoyed the game. It's a good game, end-to-end, it absolutely... ticked every box for me, apart from the end result, of course. But I believe my main point is really, it's nice to see Philippe Clement, he's reduced the heat on himself a bit. You know, that aside, from Sunday, you got to look at the Spurs result and maybe, three or four results before it. He's closed the gap with Aberdeen. He's doing his European business very well. And I think we need to just kind of maintain positivity at this point.
I go back. What was it done for Philippe Clement, Hugh?
I always go back to that Dundee United game at Ibrox, and I thought, how can that possibly be the case? Dundee United team caught in the storm Bert and in the coach for hours, and they go there and the kickoff has to be held up and all over the place, and then they go in front and Rangers belatedly get a draw and the crowd are going off their heads and people are phoning this programme from inside the stadium, and I wondered if Philippe Clement would survive that weekend. But what has taken place since then is remarkable. And it's down to players being used in their correct positions. They've found in Igerman someone who's a real goal threat. And the picture is, I was going to use the word transformed, but if you're transformed, then you win the cup, I suppose, and then you really start to make headway in the league. But I did not think he would survive that weekend against Dundee United, and he is now in a stronger position, and Russell is correct. And the callers before who have said, Stevie, the previous caller, said he was proud to be a Rangers fan again.
Look at me bringing it back to the penalty when I was hoping that we would talk about other things tonight. But I'm curious, let's not make this even a Rangers-Celtic thing, for any manager, when you come close and there is a perception of injustice, does that help Philippe Clement just even a touch more? Because the finger, there might have been a sort of hardcore element of the Rangers fans who, no matter what the circumstances, you lose that cup final to Celtic, that's unacceptable. When you throw into the mix a feeling of being wronged, or whatever word you want to use, some would go stronger.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Did it take a fraction of the heat off?
It's like stocks and shares. His stock was low, it's gone up and up and up, and now we come to Dundee on Saturday at Ibrox. Tony Docherty will go there and he'll make it as difficult as possible for Rangers. What is the mindset after the disappointment of losing the cup final? All of the furore that has followed the game because of VAR and what took place. Can Rangers recover and get the kind of result and performance that will go back to your original point, Gordon, that the fans will then say, do you know what, I think he might be getting it right. That's what's in it for him on Saturday.
I think there's a lot riding on Saturday. If you look at Rangers over more or less the course of the full season, where they've struggled is when teams in Scotland sort of, a lot of people say park the bus, but go defensively and sit in. Rangers have struggled to break them down. They can put that to bed on Saturday, Rangers, and they can announce that they're here now. They can go beat Dundee United, beat Dundee convincingly at the weekend, and then that one is completely put to bed. Anyone wants to come and park the bus against us, we've got the tools to break it down.
The fascination and the point that you raised originally about could this make the slightest bit of difference to the Championship? Now we're into psychological Saturday and psychological Sunday time. Because if Rangers beat Dundee, the gap between themselves and Celtic is not double figures, it's a single figure. And Celtic have to go to Tannadice, 12 o'clock kickoff. Now, what's their post-Hampden state of mind? Mm. They've all been to Ali Pali for the darts and all the rest of it, but now they have to pick up and they will face a tough fixture, even against a team who lost four goals at Motherwell at the weekend. So we're back to those kind of mind games. But in order for the mind games to begin, Rangers must not drop anything against Dundee at Ibrox.
Thank you, Russell. You are a good man. Let's move on to tell you about something else. Just before we take more of your calls, let's run this past you.
Clyde One's Cash for Kids Mission Christmas.
With J&D Pearce, Scotland's premier structural steel specialist. Think steel, think quality, think Pearce.
I know we had a lot of, I was going to say fun, is that the right word? We made a difference, I think, in the Cash for Kids sports auction at the weekend, but we're not done yet. The foot has to stay to the floor. That is the point. It takes such a big effort. So Cash for Kids Mission Christmas, still going at it to make sure every child gets a Christmas to remember across Glasgow, the West and Ayrshire. With your help, we're talking about trying to assist struggling families, just get the essentials, first of all, food, clothes, heating, and maybe even something for the kids to open on the big day. So let's hear from Caitlin Kerr, who works for YOMO, a charity based in the northeast of the city, helping young people shape their often deprived communities. And she told us that things, unfortunately, are getting worse.
Everybody's feeling the impact of the cost of living crisis. There's a lot of people coming into our community centre at the moment panicking about kind of universal credit or things are going to be cut. We have a lot of like parents coming and asking if they know of anywhere they can get support. It's 100% getting worse and we're getting asked for more and more support. If you can spare any money to help out with Cash for Kids Mission Christmas, please do, as it does make a world of difference to children and young people's lives.
Yes, if you can donate, please do head to clyde1.com/mission. And the good thing is, unlike some charities, and there are loads of good charities out there, but Cash for Kids, we can guarantee every penny of that. Every single penny goes straight back to children that need your help. So let's keep it going. clyde1.com/mission. A big thanks again to everyone who got involved in the sports auction and the silent auction over the weekend. The final total just on that was over £62,000. You Keevan, so a good effort. Cash for Kids Mission Christmas, supported by J&D Pearce.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Head to at Clyde SSB on X now. Merry Christmas from Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We'd be lucky to get one wise man.
Hugh Keevans and Ross McCormick are here on 01419511025. That is the number, as always, at Clyde SSB, if you would rather send us your thoughts on Twitter. So let's bring Scott in, who's on the first line. How are you, Scott?
I'm good, guys. Yourselves?
Not bad, not bad. What have you got for us?
Just before I go into my point, just to say, obviously, I hope you all have a great time over the New Year and Christmas, and that, if I don't speak to you before.
Very kind of you, you too.
Thank you.
I had 2 points. My first one is more about the game in Saturday. The other point was about the carry on before it. On Sunday, I thought the game on Sunday, Celtic's biggest problem was we couldn't get out our own half. Usually when we're, especially at home, you see the two centre halves, they're picking the ball up and they're 15 to 20 yards inside the opposition half before they pass the ball. On Sunday, we couldn't get anywhere near that. And it was only when Brendan Rodgers took off Austin Trusty, who I thought was abysmal on Sunday. His passing was nowhere near where it needed to be, and there was no coincidence. As soon as Liam Scales had come on, we started to get a bit further up the park, and we started to get something for a wide player, something we hadn't had in the whole of the first half. And I was quite surprised, but I wasn't surprised when he took Trusty off, because I thought he'd be playing poorly. But it's a big statement for Brendan to take off a guy he spent £6 million on in the summer to replace him with a guy that he basically took out the team to replace him with. I thought Liam Scales had done nothing wrong to be dropped in the first place. I was very disappointed to see him getting dropped, but I thought when he came on, he played pretty well.
To be fair to Brendan Rodgers, you know, the club have bought Trusty for £6 million, and he was always going to have, as his partnership, Trusty and Cameron Carter-Vickers. Trusty, you're right, did not have a good first half at all. And that's why Brendan Rodgers gets to have only one loss in 20 Old Firm matches, because he's not afraid to make the big call. He knows it has to be done. He knows that Trusty playing out from the back was having a nightmare. So he takes the decision, and that's what Brendan Rodgers does.
Is it easy to overlook, Scott, the fact that, you know, Austin Trusty has had some excellent games, though? I know, I think a lot of people agreed with you. It felt harsh on Liam Scales, but then there was a period in between where it looked vindicated, didn't it, because of how good Austin Trusty was. I'm not saying he was at the weekend, but leading up to that,
the game away to Atalanta, where Atalanta sort of ran out of ideals in the second half and just started lobbing balls in against his high balls, which probably shoots Austin Trusty.
Do you think it's unfair? He played more than that as a good performance, though, didn't he?
Well, I'm not saying he's not played well. All I'm saying is that it was a big statement that the guy you've spent £6 million on and you broke up a good partnership for actually get hooked in a cup final to be replaced by the guy that he replaced.
Well, Scott,
I think Liam Scales gets a very, very hard time for people at times.
Scott, on the subject of big calls, Celtic paid £11 million for Arne Engels, and Brendan Rodgers didn't even start him in a cup final.
What do you think, Ross, about the centre-back? Has this breathed new life into the debate about who should play, or is it going to take more than a poor half from Austin Trusty to do that?
It's probably going to take more than a poor half, but to be honest, I totally agree with what Scott was saying there. I think Liam Scales can feel a little bit hard done by. He never ever lets Celtic down any time he plays. But just going back to the first point he said there about Celtic's main problem was not being able to get out their half. I think if you look at the two bits of joy that they probably had in the first half, that was Coudin with his pace in behind and the one over the top when Kyogo tried the volley. Reminded me a little bit of Van Basten. But that's then on the players. You know, if one thing's not working and all of a sudden they try something and it's working, keep doing it. That ball was on a lot for Coudin to... If you watch Coudin, he always wanted to come to feet. And that's fine when everything's rosy, but when you can't get it to his feet, he's got to know as a player to then get to the next level. He's going to have to mix up his game. Should be coming short and spinning in behind and let the defenders have that. It's not a punt, it's a long pass. And that would help Celtic no end in the first half.
Scott, has the fact that it was closer than people thought a few weeks ago, has that done anything to dent your confidence about the title race, or is it exactly where it was?
Well, I was talking to the guys in the work, and a couple of guys are season tickles at Rangers. And I said to him about 5 or 6 weeks ago, when Celtic were flying high and Rangers were having their problems, I thought that, well, if we turn up, we win. That's what I thought. But as the game got closer and Rangers had some good results, you know, like, confidence breeds confidence. And I just thought Rangers were meant to give me far more confidence than they'd done maybe 6 weeks before. And I think that helped Rangers enormously. Getting a draw against Tottenham, all the money they spend for their players, and the results they'd had in between, as well as winning away in Europe as well, obviously helped them. Must help them massively.
It's amazing what the psychology is like here, Hugh, because we're only a couple of weeks away and we will obviously build up, you know, closer to the time on specifically the January 2nd game. But all of a sudden, the next one, and there's football to be played before then, by the way, but the next one becomes not... I'm not saying the cup final was a free hit for Rangers, but I'm talking about where they went into expectation-wise and so on. The next one, then, the pressure actually just goes through the roof because it's at home and everyone's now thinking that you're closer. The Rangers fans certainly think you're thinking closer. And if you don't win, then, my goodness, even if there was a title race, it's absolutely over. So the next couple of weeks is going to be blockbuster.
Rangers home to Dundee, away to St Mirren and Motherwell before they get to Celtic. I've said earlier, Celtic can't be complacent, and there's no reason to suspect that they will. But they're at Tannadice, 12 o'clock on Sunday, and they need a performance. As I said, the Hibs game, under par. Dinamo Zagreb, under par. Rangers, under par. They have to come out now and show the best version of themselves at Tannadice. But it remains a matter of conjecture until we get to Ibrox January 2nd and we find out who wins that game, if there is a winner. Because the suspicion would be that if Celtic go to Ibrox no worse off than they are right now and win there, then please, Don't anyone try to concoct a story about the league being up for grabs. Celtic will be the winners that day.
This might not matter at all, Ross, because football has never played on paper by virtue of the fact that Celtic have the two home games and the one away before the meeting, and Rangers the other way around. Do Rangers have is that harder running, just quite naturally? You know, they go to St Mirren and Motherwell. Celtic only go to Dundee United and they host Motherwell and St Johnstone.
Well, I think the St Mirren and Motherwell away games on their own is very difficult fixtures, mm-hmm. because Stephen Robinson team, you know what he's going to be about. Motherwell are, I think, fourth now, so they're... good bit of form as well, so they'll be difficult games. I think for Rangers, I don't think it really matters how they go about getting the points. It's just a case of racking the points up and staying as close as they possibly can to Celtic until the next Old Firm game.
Okay, thank you very much to Scott. And that was quite a quick first hour.
Yeah.
Let's do this. Let's play.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Come on then, Beat the Pundit time, 01419511025. You take on Ross McCormack or Hugh Keevans, you try and win a signed ball, and you get the bragging rights, of course, as well. Are we still throwing a tenner in for every correct answer to charity for the listeners? Yes, we are, 01419511025. And you have to call before 7 o'clock. Good luck.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Check out the Clyde One Facebook page now. Hugh Keevan's first Christmas was the first Christmas. Season's greetings from Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans is here, despite being at that first Christmas. Ross McCormack is alongside him, and you can get in touch 01419511025. That was a wall-to-wall first hour pure football on the back of Sunday. But it is up to you. If you've still got the appetite for the penalty stuff, you can do it. And of course it has, in a small way, sort of moved on, because the Scottish FA's chief executive, Ian Maxwell, has spoken about it today, saying mistakes will always happen. It is now public, if you like. It's pretty easy to tell that Willie Collum, the Scottish FA, think it should have been a penalty. Does that change anything for you tomorrow? I think tomorrow should be the day that we'll hear the audio and get Willie Collum's thoughts on it. So if you've got any thoughts that you want to get over, 01419511025, or if the first hour's anything to go by, you've all turned over the next page and you want to talk about something else, but it is up to you.
If you ever saw Ian Maxwell play, you'll know that mistakes do happen.
Oh, that was low from you. That's a yellow card. And sorry, by Maxie. The way, don't forget, we are giving Hugh Keevans a bit of our attention, because he wrote a book about Tommy Burns how many years ago?
35 years ago.
And it has now been reimagined, if you like, repurposed, hardback, brought up to speed for the current day. And every caller who makes it on air goes into the hat to win a copy this week. And of course, as we said, you might not be a Celtic fan, but I'm sure you know one, and at this time of year. So it'll be a nice wee uplift for... Everybody loves a freebie anyway, don't they? So
yeah. I was young when I wrote that.
I wouldn't go that far. Let's play this though.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time. Let's see how we get on with Kevin, who's in Castle Milk. How are you, Kevin?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks.
Good stuff. Ever played before?
I have.
Oh, we've had a couple of repeat performers recently. How did it go?
I beat you.
Oh, a wee rematch potentially, I have to say. I loved last night's Beat the Pundit in an unexpected way. This competition has been going for years and years and years. And you should know the drill. If you win a signed ball, it's signed by the pundits. And I thought everyone knew that. But last night's caller, I think it was with Charles or Charlie, said, listen, I know I lost, but I'll give 100 quid to Cash for Kids if I can just have the signed Celtic ball. I said, but it's not signed by the team of your choice. It's signed by dafties like Gordon Dalziel and Mark Wilson. And he couldn't believe this. All this time, for decades, he's thought that you pick the team and we get you the signed ball. Not a chance.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Anyway, Kevin, you're clear that it's just a ball signed by Hugh Keevans, yeah?
Yeah, I've got one in the house, mate.
Of course he has. Right, let's toss the coin. If it's heads, It is H for Hugh, and tails it will be Ross. Oh, it's the rematch.
Oh,
Hugh against Kevin. Let's see what we've got for us. 30 seconds. We'll give Hugh something else to listen to first so he can't hear what is going on. And you, Kevin, well, you've done it before, Kevin. You don't need me to tell you. But 30 seconds, if you want to pass and move on, you can do. Ready?
Yep.
Right, 30 seconds going on the clock, and your time starts now. Which Scottish Championship side traditionally play in blue and white hoops?
Martin.
Who are Celtic's current kit supplier?
Adidas.
Which Scottish team did Roberto Martinez play for?
Motherwell.
How many teams have gone into administration in the SPFL this season?
Two.
Which Scottish team's stadium would you find on Rugby Road?
Kilmarnock.
True or false, since Russell Martin got sacked, it's the first time there's been no Scottish manager in the top two flights of England in 132 years.
True.
Okay, let's bring back Hugh Keevans. Can you hear us?
I can.
Has Shaken Keevans been re-released this year? Has it
no,
not?
Seriously? Sadly, no.
Because usually we bring that back. You've brought the book back.
Public have been denied.
We did kick the backside out of it for quite a few years, to be fair. Because who are the... Well, James Tavernier's still there, and he's in it, is he? Or there's like a...
Jim Kerr from Simple Minds, is
it? No, but I mean like player... who's it? Scott Brown and Ryan Christie are in your music video.
Yeah.
And they're long gone from Celtic. Yeah. So maybe we should bring it up to date, re-release it again. Right, you ready?
I am.
36. Ross is wondering what on earth I'm talking about. We'll show you. He released his own Christmas song. It is as weird as it sounds. Right, Hugh, 30 seconds. Let's go. Which Scottish Championship side traditionally play in blue and white hoops?
Peterhead.
Who are Celtic's current kit supplier?
Umbro.
Which Scottish team did Roberto Martinez play for?
Motherwell.
How many teams have gone into administration in the SPFL this season?
Two.
Which Scottish team stadium would you find on Rugby Road?
Kilmarnock.
True or false, since Russell Martin got sacked, it's the first time there's been no Scottish manager in the top two flights in England in 132 years.
False.
Okay, Kevin, have you done the double over him? You get to keep him if you do.
I think so.
You get to keep him in the mantelpiece. Forget the sign ball. Christmas ornament for you. Let's go through them. Which Championship side traditionally play in blue and white hoops? I think they've had a few variations of this, but first of all,
I'm Morton.
I mean, Peterhead aren't even in the Championship. So 1-0 to Kevin, and it goes 2-0 to Kevin. I just knew, despite the fact that it's in your face, you kit suppliers, that's just not your bag, is it?
No.
Celtic were Umbro in 1999, but it is Adidas.
Ah.
And I don't know if my years are accurate, but it felt it was about then. The 2-0 to Kevin. This is heading one way. £20 into Cash for Kids as well, thanks to the team at Cairnhill Steel Structures. Roberto Martinez played for Motherwell. You both got it though. Two teams in administration, Dumbarton and Inverness, both got it though. Yeah. Rugby Road, Killy, both got it. Yeah. So Kevin's leading by two. And I have to say, there's a couple of things that fascinated me about this next question. To the producers, is there any chance of a shorter question when we're under time pressure? Seriously, how many words was that? But secondly, Hugh, see with this much detail, I'm amazed you didn't just think it was true. It'd be a lot to make up, but true or false, since Russell Martin got sacked, it's the first time no Scottish manager in the top two flights in England, 132 years.
Amazing.
What a sad state of affairs that is.
Yeah.
What was the peak? Was there not a peak season in the English Premier League? Maybe kind of late 2000s? Were we not up at a proper, like, maybe like seven or something? I think like Sir Alex, David Moyes, it was like Steve Keane was even in there.
Billy Davis.
Yeah, maybe something like that. Maybe Malky Mackay ever in there. Something like that, and there was a proper few. None in the top two flights. Anyway, what it all means is that you, Kevin, are the winner of a second sign ball on Beat the Pundit, signed by us, not by your team. So congratulations, well done to you.
Well done, Kevin.
Thanks very much.
There we go. Well done to Kevin. Disappointed in you there. I think you've been good this season.
Yeah.
Just an off day.
But then, I suppose it. Kit manufacturers, nah.
I know, but how often do you look at the Celtic kit?
I come from an era when they didn't even have numbers in the back.
That is true.
I was still thinking New Balance.
Oh, were you? Okay. Yeah. That would have been a couple of years, maybe three, four. I'm not an expert either, but I knew. I think I would have been confident in Adidas.
I come from an era when Celtic wore their numbers on the shorts because they wouldn't put a number on the jersey.
There you go. He's rolling back the years with that stuff, but it is Adidas for the avoidance of doubt. Is that it then? Is that the Scottish managerial mystique that we used to have and that hold over English football? Is that it? Well, gone forever. Even Russell Martin's the old, he'll be the old, what is he, the granny rule or something?
Born in England.
How many Scots managers do we have in the Premiership? Our own Premiership?
There'll be a few.
Derek McInnes,
Stuart Kettlewell, Don Cowie. That's not that well, right? That's a kind of okay number.
That's a quarter, 25%. The rest are all from out of town.
No, David Gray. It's not, let's rewind that.
One third.
That's still all right, is it not? By nowadays standards. Someone's going to tell me that there's another one.
One time.
No, Simo Vallecari's certainly not. Yeah. Don't do it. Don't. He's only whatever age he is. I know where he's from. I can see your eyes lighting up. Tony Dock as well. Half the EQ, for goodness sake. 01419511025 is the number that you need. Right, if you want to go penalty gate, short pull gate, you can do. If you want to keep going in the football, it has been good fun. It's been refreshing. So you can do that as well. But it, like I said, I'm half joking with that stuff because it is a big deal and it is developing in a sense, because Ian Maxwell has spoken about it today. You don't hear a lot from Ian Maxwell, and I wonder what he thought of his diary when he realised he had a media commitment today for the first time in months, probably. This is what he had to say on the penalty. He says mistakes are always going to happen. He still feels VAR's been a success and is making a big difference.
This is the first time I've been asked this year about a VAR decision. It's not always been that way. I think that while he's come in, the transparency, the way he's dealt with things has been a breath of fresh air and made a real difference, you know, on and off the pitch. And we want to drive that forward. So, like I said, since football began, people have been talking about refereeing decisions, and we will talk about them forevermore. And that's part of the game. There will never be a point where there isn't a contentious decision, because people disagree on decisions. That's the beauty of the sport. You know, you get 20 football fans in a room, you'll get 25 different views on whether a decision or a foul was right or wrong. We're never going to change that.
Yeah, but that seemed to be a factual decision. That wasn't a subjective decision. That's what people are concerned about.
Decisions will be wrong. That's a given. You know, we'll eradicate them as much as we possibly can. VAR has done that. In a vast majority of cases, there are always going to be one or two that will fall out with that, because there's people involved in anything that involves a person at any point in any walk of life. There will be decisions made that don't go the way we want them to be or are incorrect. That's just part of human nature.
One man's factual is another man's subjective.
I do think this probably is an important distinction on this. I hadn't heard that clip yet, I must admit, and I was going to point it out, but Ronnie, someone you know who asked the question there, I think that was right, because this is not meant to be about you think that's a foul, you don't. This one is a bit different.
In my local bank, and there's one of the people who works at the bank is a big Celtic fan. He's always telling me what will happen next. But he said to me, never a penalty. And I said, how do you work that out? And he said, the referee had blown his whistle before the shirt pull.
Yeah,
you heard that one?
I'm hearing this a lot. I mean, it's quite simply not the case, which is fine. Like, you know, I know people tried to, because at the start, when there is an information vacuum, you're allowed to do that. You're allowed to say what, you know, your reading of it, your interpretation. But I think it's become clear, we mentioned this last night, those VAR officials are not involved this weekend. Yeah. Right? Willie Collum, remember we had him on the show months ago. He said that night, so you can judge for yourself if this is what's played out, that he would guarantee accountability.
Yep.
And it might be the case that referees get taken off games for a punishment, if that's the right word, but he would not make it public. He wouldn't make it public in the same way that managers don't ever say, I've left Ross McCormick out, he's hopeless last week. Did you see him? See how bad he was?
If you have.
Well, maybe. So, like I said, that we now at least know that this stuff about, oh, the whistle had gone, or it was for a kick in the leg. No, because the Scottish FA have pretty much said that was a penalty, because they've taken the VAR officials out of the firing line. You can see the headlines, whether it's come from that or something else, that Rangers have been told it should have been a penalty. I don't think that surprises that many people, apart from your man in the bank and some others. But I think Ian Maxwell did say stuff that you'll agree with, in the sense that until you take humans out of that process, I don't know how it changes, but there should still be a distinction. This is not the same as like a subjective debate about what is or isn't a handball, or is or isn't a red card.
Obviously, the whole situation is exaggerated because it was a cup final, and that means an awful lot. An awful lot to Philippe Clement. You know, could have been first win over Brendan Rodgers, the retention of the trophy that he won last season, the heat dying down on him. So obviously it's going to be a major talking point. But as Ian Maxwell said, from the day that football began in Scotland until the present day, there have been mistakes and there will continue to be mistakes.
Because if that's action, if you like, so words are one thing. If the action, Ross, is that these VAR officials have been stood down, dropped, taken out the fire, whatever phrase you want, I don't think that's going to be enough for people. And then on the other hand, and I've been saying this all week, that's what's maybe a bit frustrating about the topic, is I'm running out of new ways to ask it or say it. If that's not enough, which again is fine, it's your call, it's your prerogative, what is enough? What's the solution? How does anyone find a realistic answer that suits people?
Well, I think the first thing I will say is, if you talk about the VAR officials being stood down, I say rightly so, because I think in any other walk of life, if someone doesn't do their job, they get demoted. I believe that particular decision is one that they can't get wrong. It's just impossible to get wrong. It was that blatant. But you're right, it's not going to be enough. That's football fans, Old Firm fans, they want something else, but unfortunately, there's nothing else that can happen.
Because the problem is, to be pernickety, I know what you mean, but it's not impossible. Hence why we're having this discussion. You can say that it should be, but as Hugh and the Canadian Maxwell, when you put a human in charge of the process, for whatever reason, whatever walk of life, you must have seen it all, where somebody does something and you go, how have you done that?
Yeah.
And the person goes, I don't know. And I know that doesn't satisfy people, but until that process doesn't involve humans, I don't know how you...
As I say, we've got on VAR, you know, this technology, but it's technology worked by humans.
The technology's irrelevant here, really, isn't it? It's another look at it.
Two humans looked and thought, nah, you're okay. On you go. Let me tell you, this will give you a laugh. When new technology came into newspapers and we're all sitting there for the first time and we're getting our lessons, I always remember the guy who was teaching me saying, tell me, I don't have to tell you that again. You know, so humans, machines, doesn't always work.
Yeah, Peter's on the line. Peter, how are you?
Hi, not bad, mate, yourself.
Not bad. What are you thinking tonight?
Well, I was just thinking that if it wasn't for refereeing decisions over the years, Rangers would never have equaled their record in the first place, eh?
Aye, that's what, you're right, Peter, that's what we need. A debate about refereeing decisions in the 90s. That's what everyone's needing tonight.
I actually thought it was well outside the box. I thought the contact with the legs was for the free kick. Obviously, it's come out the day they've made a mistake. But just want to remind everybody that they should be pleased with their progress. It was a great final. It was a bit of a challenge for a change. And I just, if it's not for referees and mistakes, I don't know. We've dealt with it for years, haven't we, on our side? You just need to put up with it. Put your chin up and go on with it. We've got 119 unshared titles, and that's all there is about it.
It might be all about it for Peter, but I suspect it's not that simple for other people. Yeah. And I do get both sides of it, Hugh. I think we're kind of like detached from it. I don't, you know, if I'm in Philippe Clement's shoes or in the shoes of many of the Rangers fans, I'm not pretending I wouldn't be every bit as annoyed, every bit as angry, every bit as frustrated. I think it's all about, though, that next bit. What do you do? If people keep saying that I don't think it was an apology, but this acknowledgement that it should have been a penalty, it's not enough. Yeah. Fine, what's enough? And then I've yet to hear a convincing argument, because as Ross says, right, so you've got stand them down, demote them, whatever. Not enough. Okay. You sack them forever? Are you gonna be able to attract referees if you do that?
On the question of where do Rangers go from here, there's a new chief exec and a new chairman, And I think the Rangers fans are looking at the two of them and saying, OK then, what are you going to do? Mm. So I think Rangers will take their time to analyse what is said.
But that's what I mean. What is the answer to that when you say, what do you do? Right, so let's be really honest with each other. Team doesn't get penalty that they deserved. That game is football is not getting replayed. This is that is fantasy stuff, right? And yeah. I know that might upset people, but seriously, right? Fantasy. Yeah. So you come back a bit. Are refs going to get sacked forever, told that they can never ever do it again? I genuinely don't know. But let's say even if the answer to that was yes, what does that fix? Because it certainly doesn't change the incident at the weekend. And sorry to send shiver down the spine, it doesn't prevent future mistakes happening. No. It just doesn't.
It might be a big mistake coming on January 2nd at Ibrox.
Yeah, I'll be off for a month if that happens.
You cannot legislate for getting through that game without another mistake. But on the question of where do you go, I'll leave that to Fraser Thornton and to Patrick Stewart, because the Rangers fans are looking at them. And I agree with every word that you've said. Mm. I don't think there is anywhere you can go. But Rangers do have a recent history of taking on governing bodies. They had a long-running battle with the SPFL over advertising and what have you. They are not against the idea of taking on the authorities, litigation, call it what you will, but I would hope not.
Again, I don't know what that means, really, Ross, or what kind of practical steps it is.
Exactly what you said there. No matter what happens out with this game being replayed, which is categorically not going to happen, I don't think anything else that happens is going to be enough in the minds of the Rangers fans. So, but in my head, that's it. They come out and say, we got it wrong, we're sorry. Mm. That's all that can happen here.
Because, by the way, I also get why human nature... that doesn't satisfy you. Do you know what I mean? I get that, but unless somebody can tell me what the answer to the next question is, because if the statement is that's not enough, the next question is okay, what is? And until such times, maybe we've just not heard it yet. Maybe there's a caller out there who's got the perfect solution for us. Anyway, 01419511025, and we'll take more of your calls next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now.
Hugh.
Merry Christmas from Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Ross McCormick are here. 01419511025 or Twitter at Clyde SSB. Let's quickly give you a teaser from Dylan and Paisley. I'm running a bit late, so I won't need any of your answers just now. I'll just leave it sitting there. Can you name, since 2019, 9 Rangers or Celtic players who've played for a London club who are currently in the English Premier League? So since 2019, can you name 9 players that have played for Rangers or Celtic and have played a competitive game for a London club who are currently in the English Premier League? You got any quickly leap out?
Ayer.
Yep, Brentford.
Edward.
Palace. Ross.
Matondo.
No. Okay, leave it there, that's fine. Thanks to Dylan and Paisley for the question. We'll get back to it. Let's bring in John, who's in Rutherglen. How are you, John?
I'm fine, thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Pleasure, John. What made you call?
It was just, again, regarding the penalty on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, the game cannot be replayed.
Mm-hmm.
But on the grounds of sporting integrity, should the cup, the result, not be declared null and void?
No.
Why not?
Well, what would have happened if Rangers had got the penalty and missed it?
That's hypothetical, Hugh, as you say.
And how?
Hypothetical, they could have scored it.
Well, if you start declaring cup finals null and void on the back of a mistake, you'll have to replay or declare null and void every cup final.
I mean, not every, but I do take the point. I mean, like, seriously, John, because I get the depth of feeling on it, and I said before, I think if I'm in your shoes, I'm very angry, I'm very frustrated. But are we being serious here about null and voiding a national cup because a penalty wasn't given?
Well, a penalty was denied. It's not a case of it wasn't given. It was. It's been admitted by Willie Collum that it was a mistake.
Yeah, a mistake. So therefore, every time there's a mistake, you can't declare the competition null and void.
A mistake of astronomical proportions, if you want to put it that way.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think it's a big one. You know, I don't think it's just another mistake. I still don't know. I'll ask you, Ross, just in case you're going to surprise me. Should the cup be null and void?
No. No, it can't. Hugh's 100% right. I think if you go down that route, there's going to be so many that are going to be null and void. And then what? Do you then take that into the league as well? Like, you, if you look at, for talking sake, say Motherwell didn't get a penalty at the weekend. If they don't win that game, well, we should have won that game because we should have had another penalty.
Would football not just kill itself, John, if we had to, you know, null and void competitions where refereeing mistakes were made? Like, practically, how would it work? I get your desire for it, but practically, how would that ever work?
It should be possibly a criteria where if it's a cup final.
But again, where would you draw the line? Because as Ross says, we need to strap ourselves in. There might be one on the last day of this season. There might be a bad decision in the league. A team gets relegated. They have to pay off staff at the club because they've been relegated. They've not got that money anymore. That team doesn't come back into the Premier League ever again, or for the Premiership, or for the next 10 seasons. You know, everybody's in their own fight, John. I know that it's so important when it's a cup final, and you better believe it becomes more important to people when it's those two teams. But do you genuinely think it's workable, stuff like that?
I don't know, but I just thought I would throw that into the mix.
I don't mind it. That is what we're here for.
It doesn't really cut it, does it?
Yeah. And again, I said that, and I knew people would say the apology doesn't cut it, and I don't disagree, Hugh.
Yeah.
But if the solution to, okay, apology doesn't cut it, so null and void the cup, it feels like there's a big gap between those two outcomes.
Scottish football would immediately become the laughing stock of the world if we started doing that. But if John's views are representative of the views of those who are responsible for governing Rangers, then we wait and we find out if there is an appetite for exploring what is beyond the acknowledgement of a mistake.
But this is where there are just so many, you know, so many things that would be hypothetical, as you mentioned. I mean, yeah, Rangers might have got the penalty and missed. Rangers might have scored the penalty, which somehow gave Celtic a kick up the backside and they go and scored. You know, it's just too simple to...
Yeah, the nature of that day, Celtic go 3-2 up.
And I know it was late and all that, but it might not have been.
Yeah, but, you know, Nicholas couldn't put Celtic 3-2 up, and you think, well, in fairly typical Celtic fashion, that's the cup won. And less than 30 seconds later, it was 3-3. So even if the penalty had been awarded and Tierney or Taverney would have taken it, that doesn't in itself say, and that's the cup final over. Because there was plenty of time left for something else to happen.
Listen, John, I did say, give us your solutions, your suggestions. You've given us one, so we can just agree to disagree. Thank you very much. That was John in Rutherglen on 01419511. 1025 or Twitter at Clyde SSB. I think maybe this is a really minor point, right? But in terms of like degrees of mistake, we've all admitted, we think, you know, you guys have all been saying what you think it is a big one, you know, it's not just another. But when we're talking about with it being a penalty, because as you say, it might not be scored.
Yeah.
There is,
it might not be the last goal in the game.
Yeah. But I mean, there's another step out there. It is possible in football matches you could get a goal wrongly disallowed, which therefore is hard and fast, you know, would have been a goal, and yet you still wouldn't null and void a cup for that.
No.
So, and now to throw an extra sort of memory into the bank, remember we used to football without VAR.
Yeah.
Had VAR gone down, and I know it didn't, right, so this is not in any way trying to excuse it, had VAR gone down at the weekend, there's every possibility that you then just play it with the on-field decision.
Yeah.
You know, again, which would have been free kick. So I don't grudge people the desire for, like, some sort of justice. I just think football sounds a million miles away from null and voiding cup competitions because teams didn't get decisions.
No, it simply can't be done. we'd be a laughing stock. And you know, the world over, there are mistakes, and including cup finals. It happens. It is the human element. I know that human error is regarded as an alien concept.
But you would accept this is a particularly extreme example of
because
that.
Because it's a cup final, of course.
No. I mean, because it's supposed to be just in or out the box. You know, there's not really a subjectivity there.
No. No one in this programme has entered any form of doubt over the fact that it was a penalty and was not given.
Okie doke. 01419511025 is the number that you need. So please do keep your thoughts coming. We're still here for another 20 minutes or so. Let's bring in another caller on the line. We've got Tony who's there. Tony.
Good evening, gentlemen. It's just a wee quick question. What I was wanting to ask was, see, when a goal's been given, the whole ball has to cross the line for the goal to be given. Mm-hmm. Does the whole ball not need to cross the line for a penalty to be given? Because the whole ball was near across the line inside the box. It was only on the line.
Yeah, it's not the ball.
Nothing to do with it, Tony. The ball's... in a game of football, in this instance, the ball's irrelevant. It's the tug on the shirt.
Yeah, it's the tug on the shirt, Tony.
So if he tugs him on the shirt, the halfway line, he gets a penalty, even though the ball's not in the box.
Ball's got nothing to do with it. Absolutely nothing to do with it.
It would just be where the offence took place. And again, I have mentioned this previously in the week, just in case people didn't hear it, and it doesn't change the outcome, just for a bit of clarity. There was a lot of focus on Sunday night, Ross, and where Cherney's foot was in the line. That's irrelevant. I suspect you will hear Willie Collum explain as much in the coming days. It's just where that shirt pull is, and the shirt clearly, I think for most people, is pulled
inside the box,
over the line. If that makes sense. Because listen, even if we agreed with Tony's logic, we're not going to change in rules. We don't set them. This is just more about should be a black and white call been made, and for you guys, it's no.
If Rangers had been playing Motherwell and this had happened, it wouldn't have been the same for us.
I always, even me, as a fan of a wee team, I don't get offended by that stuff too much, because there's a supply and demand nature to it. The more people that are interested, the more extreme, or the more scope for the number of people with extreme opinions like we're hearing. So I don't mind it. But I do think Scottish football probably does need to tread slightly carefully on how we would treat this if it was two wee teams. I mean, Stuart Kettlewell is saying today, and again, I accept all this stuff about it, it shouldn't be subjective. Stuart Kettlewell is saying today, Willie Collum has told him Motherwell should have got a penalty at the weekend.
Yeah.
Rangers should have got a penalty at the weekend. Motherwell should have got a penalty at the weekend. Nobody cares.
That's what I was saying earlier, though, wasn't it? Motherwell should have got a penalty. They didn't. Luckily, they went on to win the game. If they didn't, and Motherwell fans were calling up and causing a fuss, so this game should be null and void or replayed, because I mean, we should have won this game.
Forget Sporting Integrity. Had Dundee United equalised or won the game, it would have ruined Andy Halliday and his teammates' trip to Copenhagen.
Very true.
I mean, forget the outcome of cup finals. Do you know what I mean, Hugh?
You spoke about supply and demand, and when I looked at the newspapers, the back pages on Monday morning, I thought, oh, this one will run and run and run. And now we've gone from replay the cup final to declare it null and void and play it again, because according to one caller on Monday night, the family party on Sunday night was ruined.
We've all been there. Again, though, I've got a bit of sympathy with being on this side of it, because it's because of the news cycle. It's very hard. You can't, on one hand, Rangers fans don't want a line drawn under it because they want to make sure everything's been done about it. Again, fine. And on the other, how do you just move on when it should be tomorrow? We'll hear Willie Collum and we'll hear the VAR audio, so people have then got new thoughts on it. And then on Friday, like I say, guaranteed Philippe Clement will be asked about it, and then he'll speak about it, and then it'll be our headline. So I don't know how you stop that. I don't think you can.
For Philippe Clement cannot give a club decision. He's the manager, and there are those above him, chief exec, chairman. The matter is not over until we hear from those who govern Rangers, and that may not happen. They may accept what has taken place, but the matter's not over until either or Patrick Stewart or Fraser Thornton speak.
But then is the matter ever truly over? Because, as we've said, they meet in January the 2nd. I'm sorry to ruin Rangers fans' nights even further. They might be on the receiving end of a mistake. Everyone will then link it to this previous one, even though it's probably entirely separate. So is it ever truly over?
But the history of our game with regard to this particular conflict or rivalry, call it what you will, is that both clubs believe there is institutional bias against them, and therefore that's why it runs on in perpetuity.
Right, okie doke, how are we doing on this teaser? We're looking for the nine players since 2019 played for Celtic or Rangers and have played for a London club currently in the English Premier League.
Kieran Tierney.
You've got Ayer, Edward and
Kieran Tierney.
And I'm so glad you mentioned it. Do you know why I'm glad you mentioned it?
Why?
Because for the first time in I think 19 months he starts for Arsenal tonight.
There you are.
Did you think you would see the day?
Kieran Tierney had a time in Spain and apparently did well there, but then suffered a terrible injury. Mikel Arteta sounded at the weekend as if he was bringing him in against his better judgment, really, but he had no one else. But the Kieran Tierney story is not yet over. He's too good a player.
It's so funny because I'm reading all the replies from the Arsenal fans. They still absolutely love him, Ross, but it, you know, he just his time, maybe the way he plays versus the way Mikel Arteta wanted to play, and then a whole host of injuries. So it's funny, it's not like a guy that's unpopular, he's just been nowhere near the team for various reasons, and now he's back in tonight.
I think obviously injuries played a big part in Kieran Tierney, but also then, like you said, I think when Arsenal started to go into a sort of new level when they brought in
Zinchenko
from Man City, yeah, Kieran Tierney, he was probably unlucky with that because that came at a time where I felt as if that was Kieran Tierney's time to really kick on and really get to the top. And obviously Zinchenko came in, done really well at Arsenal. Now they've went away from Zinchenko and went to someone else as well, Calafiori.
Oh, there's loads of them as well. They've been playing in front of Tierney.
It's never ending. It's really hard to sort of nail down a position in one of them top clubs.
At Fulham, Johansson.
He's not there anymore, though, is he?
No, what? He doesn't. Let me think. Why would he not be on that list? He's not on the list. Let me do a steward's inquiry for you, Hugh. Try
Key.
And think how we can rule him out. Nope.
Not Key.
Nope. Okay, I'll give you some thinking time and we will get the rest of the answers and more of your calls next.
Christmas Cash Countdown. Win over £500,000. Clyde
One. A week today, by the way, quite terrifying. We're getting there, we're getting very close. Time's running out for you to be a winner on the Christmas Cash Countdown as well. Tell you what, would make the Christmas shopping a bit easier if you've left it last minute, because the final Christmas Cash Countdown, the festive fortune is £520,000. Text YES to 61025, YES to 61025, and you get 5 for 1 on your first entry. The texts are £250 plus your standard network rate. The entries cost £250 on the website, or you can call 0330 880 4523. Calls charged at a standard rate over 18s only. All the rules for this Rayo Network competition are at Clyde1.com. Lines close 5pm Friday. Just answer your phone if we ring it and the £520,000 would be yours. Text YES to 61025.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check out the Clyde One Facebook page now. Talking baubles all year long. Merry Christmas from Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
We are nearly there on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Hugh Keevans and Ross McCormick. I've got plenty more to give, and if you want to do the same, give us a call or a tweet or however you fancy getting in touch. That would be the best option, though. Right, Dylan and Paisley, good question. Since 2019, the last nine Rangers or Celtic players who've also played a competitive appearance for a London club currently in the English Premier League. I'm annoyed at myself for overlooking the obvious when you said Stefan Johansson. He's not played for Celtic since 2019.
Uh-huh.
You know, the rest of them will have. So you give me Tierney at Arsenal, Ayer at Brentford, Edward at Palace.
Calvin Bassey.
at
which club? Fulham.
Yes, former club of yours, of course. Mm-hmm. How was that? Was it noticeably different? Well, the questions about London clubs. People make a deal of that. You move to London. It's a London club. Feel any different?
Not really. Probably, I think maybe a little bit less. Not pressure, because pressure comes from within. But what I mean is, there's less eyes on Fulham than there would be a Manchester or a Liverpool right. club, if you know what I mean.
Because so would you get like noticed all the time walking around Leeds, as an example? But it was different when you went to London, because you're a small fish in no a bigger cares, pond, sort of thing.
That's exactly what it is. Yes, there's always right, okay. someone bigger than you in London. No one cared.
Ah, right, but not Leeds.
Oh, Leeds, yeah. Right. Everyone, well, that's all they care about is Leeds United. Like here in Glasgow, you've got Celtic and Rangers, yeah. but Leeds, you've got Leeds, and that's it.
Which of your English clubs, Cardiff as well, do you feel most like affiliated to? Is it Leeds?
Leeds, yes.
So you played your best stuff. Are they the ones that you've got the best relationship with, or?
Best relationship, yes, but not my best stuff. I think I played my best football at Fulham. I had 2 years there, and basically, more or less, from start to finish, I felt I was at my best. Whereas Leeds, I probably took a year to get going.
Right.
And then there was a little spell when Neil Warnock was the manager, when I wasn't great either. So there was chunks of it where I wasn't really that great.
Were you ever in the Half Moon pub?
Calling him. I lived about half a mile from it.
Yeah. That's a yes, by
so
the way.
No, no.
That was a yes, I have to say. Right, 01419511025 if you want
James
to get
McCarthy.
In touch. James McCarthy, yeah, well done, well done. Okay, Crystal Palace as well, I'll give you that club. Okay, a couple more. Oh, did you get the current Rangers one?
Jack Butland?
Yes, I told them during the break, I'll fess up, I told them during the break just to help them a bit that there was a current Rangers one. Right, what else have we got for us tonight? Still time just about, I think, to squeeze a call in, but we need to be very quick, or you can tweet at Clyde SSB as well if you want to get anything over to us. And it's weird too, because it's about to be an extremely busy time, but no European football this week.
No.
The midweek, just a quiet, well, it's not quiet obviously, but just a football free Wednesday in Scotland.
I was interested in something Ross said earlier. We might have been off air at the time. He said that he likes to see the games after the Christmas parties for players. Andy, no pressure on you, Andy, just because you were in Copenhagen all weekend.
That's true. How will they respond? Because they're Friday night.
Yeah, Kilmarnock they're playing, yeah.
Yeah, is it? Yeah, of course, yeah. So it's Friday night after being away the Christmas do. Is that risky?
Yeah.
They'll be fine. They're right. Don't worry about that. They'll be in high spirits. You always feel good after a Christmas do. Even, listen, probably hungover for one day, but it brings a camaraderie and, it's a feel-good factor. They'll be fine.
I remember Mark Wilson saying the kind of, when he knew it was big time at Celtic, was when they went to London for their Christmas do. So when you played at Fulham, where'd the teams in London go?
Dublin.
All right, okay. Fair enough. I think a lot of teams will go there now,
won't
they?
See, you're no fun because it's the Radio Clyde do tomorrow night, and you don't need to be fitness tested on the Friday because you're teetotal.
Just boring. I'll just drive down and laugh at the rest of you.
Yeah.
By the way, do you know, it didn't even cross my mind until after the fact. So this week's been a bit sort of chaotic with the pundits and people are away. You're not usually on a Wednesday,
no.
Really. We had Mark and Gordon on and Tuesday when they're usually on Thursday.
I was on Monday as well.
That means we freed Gordon up to get a proper kick at the Christmas do.
Oof.
Because every single year it's always a Thursday night for whatever reason. So every single year Gordon DL has to work until 8 o'clock, then go down, and maybe he's got the car or whatever because he's been here. But everyone else's holidays this week have freed him up to have a proper head-on attempt at the Clyde One Christmas Day.
Saturday
tomorrow.
Morning before Super Scoreboard, fitness test in the car park outside here.
Because he's getting to that stage. Yeah. Saturday morning is a struggle for him after Thursday evening.
Yeah, he's now a popular late entertainer, of course, and he's having his hair transplant done and various other things. So,
well, you having a red wine for you tomorrow?
Is there a why in the day?
Yeah, I thought as much. Anyway, I do think we're probably out of time to really squeeze a call in, because I know what will happen. I'll have to cut it off quite quickly because the show's about to end. Then people say, you deliberately cut that guy off. He was making such a good point. So let's avoid any confusion, because we are slowly but surely running out of time. But plenty more mileage in the main topic of the last couple of days.
You said it yourself, we've still got the Friday round of press conferences to come. You know, Philippe Clement will be asked, it would be remiss of the press not to ask him about what Willie Colum will have to say.
And like I say, I think tomorrow, and I just keep saying that because it's not up to me and I don't want to give false information, I do think tomorrow will be the day that you hear the VAR audio. And you kind of speculated earlier in the week, it's probably not going to be that exciting and people will just skip over it, and hence why we're having this discussion. But nevertheless, it's always good to hear what the process is like and get Willie Colum's take on it as well. So let's round off the teaser before we go. We're looking for those nine players, Rangers or Celtic, since 2019, who've played for a London club currently in the Premier League. Butland, Bassey, Tierney, Ayer, Edward, McCarthy. What if one of them played against a Glasgow club last Thursday? Who played last Thursday in Glasgow?
Tottenham.
Fraser Forster,
thank you. Rangers fans really don't want to mention this guy because it just brings back bad memories of Seville.
Aaron Ramsey.
And well, similarly, but for different reasons, Celtic fans might not be too fond of this guy because he played for West Ham, cost about £5 million, and did very little at Celtic. Striker. I can see it, Hugh. I can see the wheels.
I know.
Turning.
A Yeti.
Yes, Albion a Yeti. Well done. Just in the nick of time. We are back tomorrow from 6 o'clock. Marvin Bartley's back, his holidays. Simon Donnelly will be here as well, back his holidays. A couple of Globetrotters. And we'll be here 6 o'clock as always. Enjoy the rest of your evening.